Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
Are you or someone you love being held in the grips of some addictive behavior or some past abuse? If so, next on Daily in the Word, we're going to discover recovery together with God. Stay with us. Lasting spiritual recovery is only possible by the internal transforming power of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only because of the gospel and because of the power of Jesus Christ that we can truly experience recovery from chains of addiction and abuse that bind us and haunt us for so long in life. Welcome to another edition of Daily in the Word and to a series entitled Recovery Together with God. This program comes to you from the high desert of Southern California, Lancaster, California, and features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chapel, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster. You can find out more about this ministry online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. On that website, you'll find plenty of resources that will encourage you in your relationship and your ongoing recovery as you walk with Jesus Christ. Right now, we're turning to Philippians chapter 4 in our Bibles. We're going to experience a meaningful relationship with Jesus Christ. This is the third message in our series on recovery. Here's Paul Chapel.
Oh God, I really want you in my life, but first I'm going to work three jobs to get a lot of money to get some other problems taken care of. But when I get those problems taken care of, then I'm going to get right into church, God, and take care of the other things with you that I need to take care of. Now, God says, I know what your needs are. I want you to seek me first. And I'll add those other things to your life. I can take care of your relationship issues. I can take care of your finance issues. I can take care of your family issues. But I want you to keep me in my proper place for your life. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. And so he says in verse 34, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So God says, I know what your needs are. I want you to put me first in your life and let me take care of those needs. Psalm 56 and verse 8 tells us how much God knows about us. And this is a fascinating verse, isn't it? Psalm 56 and verse 8, thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? Do you know what that means? God knows every tear you've ever shed. God knows every hair that's on your head or that isn't on your head or whatever the case might be this morning. He knows everything about everybody. And I'm glad that I serve a God who knows about our fears, a God who knows about the feelings of rejection that children being raised by an alcoholic understand and feel. And he knows what that's like. And sometimes we don't know how to empathize with others, but God knows and God understands. And he is a great high priest who can be touched with the feeling of our infirmity. He knows about discouragement. He knows about depression. Why? Because he knows everything. Why do some Christians act like God doesn't understand? God knows everything. Now, we see that this first attribute is wonderfully comforting because it reminds us that God is all-knowing. But I want to share with you a second attribute about God this morning. God is all-loving. God is loved. In fact, the Bible says we love him because he first loved us. And I want you to recognize today that God cares about your burden today. Some of you have loved ones that are very sick, and some of you are going through various trials and difficulties. And I want you to know today, God cares about your burden today. The Bible says in Psalm 103 and verse 13, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. In other words, God says, I know you have weaknesses. I'm the one that formed you out of the dirt of this earth. I know how frail you are, and I'll come along and pity you and strengthen you in your time of need. I'll help you with your trials and with your burdens. I remember some years ago reading a Charlie Brown comic, and Lucy came up to Charlie, and you know, Lucy's always trying to be the philosopher and so forth, and she says, now Charlie, life is like a desk chair. You know, sometimes we point that chair off into the future to see where we're going. And sometimes we point the chair to see where we've been or to see where we are. And Charlie thought about that for a moment. And he said, I can't even get my chair unfolded. And sometimes we feel like that in life, you know. We just can't go anywhere. We just can't take care of our burdens and our problems. But God is a loving God to pity you when you can't get your chair unfolded, to pity you when you can't seem to get momentum going in life. He cares about you. And I want to say this also. He cares about you the way you are. So many times the feelings of guilt and discouragement come upon a person to the point that they think, why, look at these other people in this church. They're so perfect. And by the way, may I just pull over and park here for a moment? They're not. We're all sinners just saved by the grace of God. But sometimes the devil comes along and causes us to think that God couldn't love us the way we are. But I want you to remember one of the great verses from what we call the Romans Road, Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Friend, before the foundations of this world, God knew every wicked thought you'd ever have and every dastardly deed that you would ever commit and every wicked and abominable thing that you would ever see, say, or do. And God said, I love you. And he chose you. And he loves you. And he wants to have a relationship with you. Oh, what a wonderful God we serve. A God who pities us and a God who loves us, you see. And so not only can you know God through Christ and through his word, but you can really get to know God and you can learn that he's all knowing, he's all loving. And then thirdly, another one of his attributes, he's all powerful. He's all powerful. Omnipotent is our God. A mighty bulwark is our God. What a great truth this is. Now, the reason this excites me is because God can do what he says he's going to do. He has power backing it up. And you know, the fact of the matter is we hear all of the sayings, you know, and we think about Prudential getting a piece of the rock, and when E.F. Hutton speaks, people listen, and all this nonsense. Now, I want to tell you something, folks. Sometimes the piece of the rock that this world has to offer is a crumbling rock. You can't trust the stock market. You can't trust the economy. You can't trust the employment situations of this world. But you can trust God because he is all powerful and he can fulfill his promises. You say, well, why are you so confident of that? Listen, why don't you just read the first verse of the Bible sometime? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Friend, if he can create it, he can take care of it. If he can create you, he can take care of you. He is all powerful. Luke 18 and verse 27, and he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Now, a friend of mine, Dr. Tom Malone, came up to a lady one time, and he said to her, how you doing this morning? And she said, oh, I'm doing fine under the circumstances. And he said to her, well, what are you doing under there for? And sometimes we choose to stay under those circumstances instead of putting our hand in the hand of the creator of this world who has power to fulfill his word, you see. He tells us in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God, who is faithful, will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation or the trial also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. In other words, God says, I don't know what your burden is. I don't know what your sinful temptation is. I don't know what your trial is this morning. But God will make a way of escape. God will give you a way out. God has power to help you. And so this morning, as we consider this matter of experiencing a meaningful relationship with God, I want to remind you, first of all, you can know God. And I want you to know, secondly, you can know him really well. You can know his attributes. You can get to know specific things about God. And thirdly, I want you to see this morning, you can experience a meaningful relationship with God. A meaningful relationship with God. Now, knowing God is not just about knowing attributes, knowing facts, but knowing God is something that we want to bring down to the personal level today. And if that's going to happen, there are a few things I want you to see with me this morning. First of all, we must realize that our best efforts aren't enough. We've got to come back to that. We've got to come back because the human tendency is to want God to be a part of the equation. We want God to be a part of the solution to our problem. My friend, he's not a part of the equation. He is the solution. And so we've got to recognize that our best efforts are not enough. Now, Isaiah 64 and verse 6 is so clear on this. It says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Now, you'll notice in Isaiah 64, 6, the word all is mentioned 1, 2, 3 times, and it's specifically saying that every single one of us, our righteousness, our good works, what we think we have in the sense of power, in the sense of ability, it's all unrighteousness, or it's all as filthy rags to God who is perfect. You see, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we fall short. We must recognize that our best efforts through control, through denial, through manipulation, our best efforts aren't going to cut it. They're not going to get us through. We can't work our way through. We can't deny our way through. We can't control our way through. And so we need God's help. We need to recognize that we are not as powerful. We are not as smart as we think sometimes. A friend of mine a few years ago got a brand new computer. Boy, he was excited. He got that thing up on his desk, and he started trying to get it to go, and he was pressing every kind of a button, code after code, trying to get that thing to boot up, and boy, he just couldn't get anything to happen there, and he was getting mad at the computer, and he was getting ready to call the company and ask for his money back, and his four-year-old daughter walked in, and she looked at that computer. She said, wow, Daddy, what a pretty computer. Can I plug it in for you? You know, sometimes we think that's the last time that's going to happen to me. Boy, I'm going to give that guy a piece of my mind. I'm going to work my way through this. And we have the best laid plans, but we're not even plugged in sometimes. And the fact of the matter is that we need to realize that our best efforts aren't enough. Secondly, we need to receive God's gift of salvation. Now, if you're here this morning and you really want a meaningful relationship with God, and I think that's why some of you are in church this morning, and if you want a meaningful relationship with God, please don't overlook what we mentioned in the first part of this message. You cannot know that apart from Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Why? Because our works are like filthy rags. Have any of you ever tried to clean a car and you had a little bit of oil or grease on the rag and you're rubbing that rag into that car and the car is not getting clean and you're just perpetuating the problem? Why? Because our righteousness is as filthy rags. So God says we need to come to that place where we would lay aside our good works and where we would totally trust in Him, where we would say, Lord, I confess to you, I'm a sinner. My best is as unrighteousness to you, and I ask you to be my Savior. And we must realize our best efforts aren't enough, and we must receive God's plan of salvation. And when we do, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17 that if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Old things are passing away, and all things are becoming new. My friend, that's what God intends for the Christian life. He does not intend for us to be living in yesterday's trash pile and problems and hurts. He intends for us to become new through the process called sanctification, through knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. So we must realize our best efforts aren't enough. We must receive God's gift of salvation. And thirdly, we must rely on God's power for the future. We must rely on God's power for the future. Now, too many people today are living in their past. They're struggling. Listen to me. Some of you that have struggled with this, you're struggling with the paralysis of analysis. You know, just thinking about the problems. And you just analyze it and analyze it. You analyze her, him, this, that. And you're paralyzed by it. And my friend, you are never going to have recovery until you rely on God's power for your future. And you're not going to rely on God's power for your future until, number one, you get out of the past. Get out of the past. Now, let's look back at our text for this morning, shall we? Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter 3. And Paul had a past, ladies and gentlemen. Paul had reasons for depression. Paul could have said, I wish I would have been saved when I was younger. I wish I wouldn't have been so mean. I wish I would have had a relationship with this one or that one. He could have lived in the past, but he chose not to. And he says in Philippians 3:13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. He says, I'm going to tell you what God has used in my life. I'm going to give a personal testimony now. This one thing I do. And what does he say? This one thing begins with the phrase, forgetting those things which are behind. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before. Friend, this morning, don't ruin your future by living in your past. God wants you to recognize that He is here to give to you a relationship. He wants to experience a relationship with you. And don't allow the paradigm of yesterday to ruin the potential of tomorrow. God wants to give to you a loving relationship that will help you in the future and for all of eternity. So we need to get out of the past. And secondly, we need to get into God's purpose for today. Get into God's purpose for today. My friend, God has a wonderful plan for your life. That is not just preacher talk. That is Jesus talk. In the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, Jesus says, for I have overcome the world. You will not have recovery. You will not be an overcomer apart from a living, daily relationship with Jesus Christ, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And He wants you to know His purpose for your life. Now, that purpose is spoken of in Romans 8, 28 and 29, and we preached about this last year in a particular preaching series, but listen to it again. And we know. Don't you like that? You see, a lot of programs say, well, we hope, we think, you might, if you keep this, that, and the other. But God says, you can know this. And we know that all things work together for good. You say, you mean my trials, my hurts? Yes. It can work for good. And we know that all things work together for good. Listen, a smooth sea never made a skilled sailor. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to those who are the called according to His, what's the next word? To His what? Purpose. God says some of these trials and hurts, I have a purpose with all of that in mind. Just quit focusing on the past and start asking, what's the purpose, God? What do you have in this? For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among the many brethren. Listen, God says, I want you to be more like my Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus was mocked, His beard was pulled, a crown of thorns upon His head. Listen, He never deserved to be spat upon. He never deserved to have a beating like He endured. endured with the cat of nine tails. He never deserved to be put upon a cross. But I want to tell you something. God says whatever little problems we're having, it is for the specific purpose that we might be conformed to the image of His Son, that we through our sufferings might know Him. Paul said that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. And listen, and the fellowship of His sufferings. Why don't you stop looking at your trials and your hurts as some terrible thing that you shouldn't have to endure? Why don't you put your pride and pity aside and say, God, You endured these things on my behalf, and I pray that through these trials I might become more like You. Help me to stop resenting yesterday. Help me to learn that all things can and do and will work together for what is good. God says, if you'll do that, you'll be conformed to My image. You'll become more like Me. The Bible says in Philippians 2 and verse 12, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. God says, look, I want to give you the will to get out of this. You don't have to try to think positive. You don't have to hype yourself up. God says, if you will open yourself to My Son and My Word, I'll give you the will and I'll give you the power. I'll give you the willpower to come through the trial in your life. You see, willpower on your own is not enough. But God promises that He'll give you the will and the power to be an overcomer, to have recovery from whatever trauma you've experienced in this life. Now, folks, I want to be honest with you. It takes courage to ask for help. It takes courage. And it takes honesty. And it takes humility. Some folks would rather switch jobs or switch relationships or switch churches or whatever than just admit, I need help. But if last week you learned that we must, as Christians today, recognize our need for God. And if you come to that place where you would say, I haven't apprehended, then secondly, you must learn the necessity of experiencing a vital personal relationship with God. It takes honesty to admit that we're sinners. It takes honesty to admit that we have needs. But when we do, God's mercy is poured out upon us. God's help is made available to us. Isaiah said it this way in Isaiah 43 and verse 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by My name, and thou art Mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. When thou passest through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. You see, my friend, God comes to us as His children, and He says, if you are hurting or you feel like you're going under for the last time, I have a hand out to you, and I'll pull you through. And if you feel like you're walking through the fire, if you'll keep your focus on Me, you'll find that you'll be conformed to the image of My Son. You will not be burned. You will not be destroyed, but you will be purified through that fire. And if you would simply say, Lord, I want to experience a right relationship with You, then God will use even the trials and the hurts to bring you to a place of maturity, to a place of freedom, and to a place of understanding like you never thought possible in this Christian life.
Well, you've been listening to Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. We're studying recovery together with God. We're discovering how to break loose from the chains of sin that bind us and how to experience the new life that really comes with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Recovery with God. You can find out more about this series or listen to past messages when you visit us online at dailyintheword.org. When you visit Daily in the Word online, I want to encourage you to take advantage of the resources that are there to help you in your spiritual growth. The first would be the podcast. You can download this program and take it with you on your device or your computer to listen to at your convenience. Also, you can refer a friend to the Daily in the Word podcast and let them be encouraged by the same preaching you receive each and every day via this broadcast. I want to encourage you to take a look at Dr. Chappell's newest book, The Burden Bearer. It's an allegory that each chapter is filled with not only a storyline, but then practical applications that will help you understand how to cast your burdens really and truthfully upon the Lord Jesus Christ and live the life that he intends you to live as his child. Again, this book is called The Burden Bearer. It's a wonderful read. Once you read it, I promise you, you're going to want everybody you know to read this book. Again, you can find out more about it at dailyintheword.org. Also, we're very excited to announce another Alaska cruise this coming August 3rd through the 10th, 2013. You're invited to join Dr. Chapel and friends from all across the country for great preaching and teaching, wonderful Christian fellowship, and the cruising of Alaska's Inside Passage, making a lifetime memory seeing some of God's most beautiful and majestic creation. That's August 3rd through the 10th, and you can find out more information about it at dailyintheword.org. Finally, on the website, you'll find a subscription link to a daily email. If you would sign up for this, you would receive a daily email from Dr. Chapel with a devotional, a word of encouragement from God's Word, and then an Old Testament and New Testament scripture reading along with a chapter of Proverbs every day. And as you get this email, if you follow it throughout the year, you'll read God's Word through in 1 year. It's a great resource, and it's free at dailyintheword.org. Well, thanks for listening today. If we can serve you or be an encouragement to you, please give us a call toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. Until next time, thanks for joining us for today's edition of Daily in the Word. Have a great day.